indiscriminate attacks, which killed civilians in their homes, on the streets, and in vehicles, and injured many more.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's broadcast is Catherine Matichuk, Shade Samuelson, myself, and Joe Aaron. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen and something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Orrin Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Jimmy Tardy.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Voices from the Edge Talk Radio, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Adrian Caboy, local activist with Black Lives Matter, about the Black Lives Matter conference in Cleveland last week and what activists hope to accomplish now that they're back. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on Between the Covers, host David Nyman speaks with writer Maggie Nelson about her book, The Argonauts, a memoir offering fresh, fierce, and timely thinking about desire, identity, and the limitations and possibilities of love and language. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for KBOO News In-Depth with a report on the kayak protest going on right now on the Willamette River, produced by KBOO's Jenka Soderberg.
The repair of the icebreaker ship currently in Portland is one of the last steps taken by Shell ahead of exploratory drilling in the Chukchi Sea. Just last week, the Obama administration issued the final permit Shell needed to commence drilling off the coast of Alaska. As the sun set on the Willamette River in Portland Tuesday night, activists opposed to Arctic drilling took to the water in kayaks, canoes, and motorboats. They unfurled a massive floating banner reading, "Defend the Arctic, Climate Justice Now." Betty McArdle was among those joining the blockade of Shell's icebreaker ship.
If we don't come out and do an action, then the powers that be will assume we don't care. By coming out and having a good time, actually, on our kayak and, you know, showing our signs and things like that, at least we're letting some people know that we do care.
Hi, my name's Bruce. I'm an Oregonian. I'm a fisherman, a sportsman. I've seen our environment deteriorate since I was a child. I'm just tired of it. And the only way to stop it is if everybody comes out here. And I don't expect to stop this boat coming down the river, but at least we'll make some publicity and bring, raise the awareness in people.
I'm Michael Brown. For everyone who is out here today, there's hundreds of people, I think, that would be out here if they could and agree with the issues. And the more we do these kind of direct actions, the more we can keep the conversation going and keep the issue in front of people and keep them talking about it and hopefully doing something about it.
The activists stayed on the water in shifts throughout the night as they awaited word on when the icebreaker ship was spotted leaving the dry dock. At 3 in the morning, Greenpeace activists rappelled down from a bridge across the river to try to block the ship that way. Daphne Weisham is with the Climate Action Coalition of Portland.
We were surprised, pleasantly surprised, at 3 a.m. when Greenpeace suspended 13 activists from the St. John's Bridge, joining our protest and allowing our kayakers to get a little bit of rest. And so now kayakers are joining in waves. They're coming. We encourage anybody who wants to join in this celebration of activism and American spirit of getting out there and actually letting the people know your opinion on drilling in the Arctic and how we need to stop this, to come join us here at Cathedral Park. We've got lots of folks here, but we could use some more. Bring your kayaks. If you don't have a kayak, we should have some extras to lend to you. The ship is, we hear it's unable to leave. I've also heard rumors that they are going to try to arrest the danglers from the bridge and proceed. And the next stop is Seattle. It will be interesting to see if they do make it to Seattle, what kind of reception they'll get there, and then on to the Arctic.
How many people would you estimate have been here through the night?
I got a little bit of sleep in the middle of the night, so I wasn't here, but I heard that there were about 60 kayaktivists out on the river, and we have the 13 Greenpeace activists suspended from the bridge. I would imagine, I would put it at around 100 overnight, and right now it's hard to say how many people are here. It's, you know, probably 100 or two.
What do you think is the most important reason for supporting this action in particular?
Well, look, people talk about climate change. I turn on the radio and I hear pretty much every day more information about just how scary this crisis is. The latest study from Dr. James Hansen suggests that we will see 10 feet of sea level rise potentially by mid-century, which means the dry dock here in Portland that is now housing the Fenica would be underwater. A good chunk of Portland would be underwater. This is a threat to three-fourths of the major cities on the planet. We cannot continue with business as usual.
And what about the drilling in the Arctic? I understand this is just exploratory drilling that Shell is doing. And what is the main issue that you have with that?
Well, in addition to the climate issue, and according to a recent study that was published in Nature magazine, the scientists said we cannot drill in the Arctic and avoid dangerous climate change. So that's the first thing, is obviously we've got to keep, as the International Energy Agency and others have said, we need to keep over two-thirds and maybe as much as three-fourths of proven reserves in the ground. We can't be opening up new reserves. We need to actually shut down existing proven reserves. So that's point number one. Point number two is the Arctic is home to thousands of indigenous people, people who have lived off the land and the water for thousands of years. Those people are directly threatened should there be a spill. The Department of Interior has estimated that there is a 75% chance of a spill in the Arctic should we proceed with this drilling, should the Obama administration proceed with the drilling. It's not too late for Obama to cancel those permits. We're calling on him to cancel those permits. We're delighted that Senator Merkley has put forward a bill calling for an end to Arctic drilling, and we encourage the mayor of Portland, Mayor Hales, and other senators, Senator Ron Wyden, and others to join Senator Merkley in this bold and absolutely appropriate response to the climate crisis.
Now, in Seattle, when there was a similar action blocking the Pioneer drilling rig, the mayor and local officials took a stand in support of the activists. Have any local officials taken a stand here?
No, and, you know, one of the things that we're concerned about is that Vigor Industrial, which is the business that is housing the Fenica, the icebreaker that's here in the Port of Portland, has given substantial contributions to just about everybody on the city council. And our concern is that they are being silenced as a result of that. Shell Oil has also been giving a lot of money to elected officials in the state of Oregon. And so we want them to represent us, not the the people that are profiting off of the destruction of the planet.
That was Daphne Wysham with the Climate Action Coalition of Portland. I also spoke today with Nick Abraham from the Sightline Institute, who studied the role of Shell Oil in Oregon politics.
Shell's been donating in Oregon for the last 5 or 6 years, and they've given well over $500,000 to candidates from a wide spectrum. They've given to state senators, they've given to candidates for governor, and they've done it all through direct political donations. So they're giving right into these guys' campaigns and really having a big influence on policy in the state. Greg Walden's taken a pretty significant amount of money, as well as Monica Wiebe, another senator from the state. So it's something we gotta all keep in mind when we're thinking about what policies these politicians are putting in place.
And have they put in legislation or regulations that are amenable to Shell here in Oregon?
Well, one of the biggest ones that was up recently was the clean fuel standard in Oregon. Now, that was pushed through with a Democratic majority, but it came back when they were talking about the transportation package in the state. That was put in with a pretty significant backing from the oil industry. When they were going through those negotiations, it came out that a ballot initiative that the oil industry had put together was word for word the same as the provision that was put into the transportation package. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about who exactly put that messaging in there, but it gives rise to the notion that the oil industry has a significant influence on the state, and they're able to talk to politicians well enough that they can put their own language into a bill that's going through the transportation package.
The company that is doing the repairs on Shell's rig, the Vigor Corporation, what was the company's involvement in the attempted Port of Morro coal export terminal?
So the Port of Morro export terminal that is all but sunk at this point. There's still some debate about whether it'll come back to life or not. Vigor was actually the company charged with building the barges that were going to take that coal from the Port of Morro up to Columbia to the Port of Westward, where it would then be shipped off to Asian markets. There's still some debate about it. The governor of Wyoming and some of the coal companies are suing Oregon over their thinking of this project. There's some debate about whether it's a violation of interstate commerce. Of course, Oregon has a jurisdiction over its own port, but they're really fighting this because it's a desperate move on their part. Coal is such a significant part of Wyoming's economy. They're going to do anything they can to try and push that project through.
What about Shell Oil Company itself? In your article, you mentioned their last attempt at Arctic drilling in 2012, in which the ship was sunk. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Shell went to the Arctic in 2012 for the same purpose they're going there now, to drill exploratory wells. You know, this place is a very remote, very dangerous area. When they went up last time, the Kulik actually ran aground after they got caught in a disastrous storm and had to be airlifted out. The crew on the ship had to be airlifted out by the Coast Guard. They left on December 31st, 2012, and that was because they were trying to avoid paying another year of Alaskan state taxes on oil drilling. They rushed out of there. They got caught in a storm, and it was an absolute disaster. Their other ship, the Noble Discoverer that's up there right now, actually got caught leaking oil into the surrounding coastline, and was in a lawsuit with the federal government that got resolved just this last December. They pled guilty to 8 felony counts and were charged several million dollars in fines, and got it all resolved just in time to head right back up to the Arctic this summer.
That was Nick Abraham from the Sightline Institute. His report on Shell Oil's influence on Oregon politics can be found on the website, sightline.org. Shell's previous attempt to drill in Arctic water in 2012 failed when the company's drill rig ran aground and its crew had to be rescued. Shell's new push to return to the Arctic is facing resistance in multiple locations, from lawsuits filed by the indigenous Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope to the Kai activists that have tried to block the transfer of its equipment in Seattle and now in Portland. Opponents have vowed to continue to fight Shell's Arctic drilling operation every step of the way. The kayak blockade continues tonight on Wednesday, July 29th. More information can be found at the website 350pdx.org or by going to Cathedral Park in North Portland under the St. John's Bridge. For KBOO News, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. That was the KBOO Evening News. Just to clarify, Monica Webby was not, in fact, an elected official. She ran for office, but did not receive enough votes to win. Coming up next, Occupy Radio. We'll have more on that in a minute. First, some important messages for you, so stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the summer concert in Dawson Park, featuring a live performance by Bamba y su Pilon de Azúcar Band on Wednesday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m. The mission of Summer Concerts in the Park is to bring cultural diversity to metropolitan area residents.